Amen, amen, amen. I want to welcome everybody with us by internet, Facebook, however you're with us. Before I get rolling here, I want to share, Doc was talking about Mr. Welge, Don, and you know there was a side that I got to see that I really appreciated with Don. Now I look back, maybe it's been 2 months, but it was just right prior to him coming down and being sick. He called and was concerned about some different things going on and decisions going to be made here in the community. And he had a genuine concern for families and children. And he not only was a businessman, he was a man that had just a heart for the people, that the community could stay healthy and stay strong. So going to miss him. Big responsibility for Tom and those going to be taking over. Just want to keep that in prayer. Just coming out of Easter resurrection, and I want to carry on with that a little bit this morning. Road to Emmaus comes on, just the scriptures in Luke. If you want to go to chapter 24 in Luke, and I want to walk through this, more of a teaching today than preaching. Title of the message is Come Back to the Answer. Come back to the truth. Recognize that in this set of scriptures, starting in 24, I don't want to read all of it, but Jesus had just broke the tomb open, had come out, was gone, and some of the women that followed him in the group went to actually take spices and embalming products to take care of him. And they found that he wasn't there. We know that's where all this story starts in the resurrection. Even in that, then when they went back to the group of people, they're not just the disciples, but a group of people, they went back and they really couldn't believe it. Well, at the time they shared that, Peter ran and went back and found that this was true. But the group that was there weren't just the disciples. There was other believers. And that's where the story starts in here. And I want to read what we find is that in this story that God never abandons you. God never leaves you. And when we run into situations and circumstances that aren't the norm, things that happen like we don't want them to happen, we tend to fall back and rather stay where the answer's at. And you're going to find as I walk through this story, you're going to find this, that God's grace is so sufficient. There's a place, see, in our life that we can live in grace. And, you know, maybe you're out there and you're saying, well, what do you mean by grace? Well, simply, grace is someone's giving you something that you do not deserve. Someone is paying your bills. Someone is giving you $10,000 and don't even know you. Someone is doing something. That's what grace is. And that's what the Father does for us. He brought his son Jesus and he gave us grace for our situation and circumstance. Another definition that I like to throw in there is that grace is God flowing through you. Now, this didn't take place a whole lot in the Old Covenant, but when Jesus died and rose again, then he went to heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he sent himself through the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives in us now, and that's where the grace flows through to what's going on in our lives. But in this story, and I want to read and not read, kind of go through it, I want to walk down to verse 13. Up until this point, Jesus has showed himself to a few, but no one really knew what was going on. So we had a group of people. We had two men. It said, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now these were people that believed in Jesus. They were there during all of the crucifixion and all the tough times that was going on. They were even still there right to the point where Jesus rose. You know, as I was going over this set of scriptures, now what they're doing here, it says, And they talked together of all the things which happened. All right, they were walking 7 miles. I don't know how long it takes to walk 7 miles, but they had this journey to walk, and they were talking about things. Well, you know, some of the other books say that during the time that Jesus rose again, the graves opened up, and the other believers was walking the streets of Jerusalem. Now, you can imagine what was going on here in their conversation. Number one, they were part of the camp that believed that Jesus was coming to be their king. He was coming to change the oppression that they were under by the Roman government. They seen him as someone that's going to take care of the situation they had. We have that in our lives. We see things that's going on, and we think, well, this is going to happen. And we're standing on that, and we're trusting in that. And then all of a sudden, we find that it didn't work out, and we tend to back out of it and go back to our norm or back to our mind or back to trying to figure it out, when in reality, you've got the answer right in front of you. And we go on with the story here. It says, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, I've been to Israel, and it's the rockiest place you'll ever imagine. But the way the hills and stuff are laid out, it kind of reminds me of seeing an off-road coming onto the interstate. And not interstate, but seeing a path that's coming. And they could see Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. They could see this man coming, and they somewhat intersected at the Y, is what I see in my mind. And then they started walking together. Now picture that, because you need to understand that he didn't just show up. They seen him coming. They knew. And as they were talking, and they were talking with such intensity that it goes on in the scripture there, and it says, Jesus says, what are you conversing? What are you talking about? And Cleopas, I like to call him Cleo. Cleo said, you know, nice, come on, walk with us, and nice to be with us, but weren't you come out of the other side of Jerusalem? That's where the path come from. Were you the only one that didn't know what was going on? So he explained, and it's interesting in that set of scripture, he's trying to pull this person, because he didn't know it was God, he didn't know it was Jesus, he tried to pull this person down to the place where they were. How many people do that to you? This coronavirus that's going around now. I mean, if you get with the wrong crowd, if you hang and talk with them long enough, you're going to be wearing more than a face mask. You're going to become terrified and think there's no answer to this, that I may get it and I may die. Where Jesus in the scripture is going to real quick come back and explain to them that no, the answer has been with you all along. It goes on, it says, oh, verse 21, but we were hoping that this was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And it says, and a certain of those who were with him went to the tomb and found that it was the woman, he said, and then it goes, but him they did not see. Now listen what happens. Then he, that's Jesus, said to them, O foolish one, I love that. O foolish one, slow to believe in all the prophets. He started out, the very first thing he started was to say to them, go back to the word. Go back to the word. Go back. I mean, you've got to believe this word. See, we've got no answer in the world. We've got this virus going on, but it's small compared to what's coming. That's why we have to get ourselves strong enough to know that anything in our life that comes up that we can't control, which you'll find that you can't control anything, you'll find that if you go back to the answer, and that's what Jesus was doing here, he said, I'm going back to the answer. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory. He was saying, didn't the prophets say that Christ, the one you're talking about, would suffer and then raise? Didn't it say that in the scripture? Well, then the next scripture says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Concerning himself. Now, they did not, in the scriptures there, they did not recognize who it was. Because, you know, God can do that. He can show up on the scene and you have no idea who you're spending time with, or even in your heart, he can show up on the scene and you don't really know that he's the one that's talking to you. So he's kept in just the realm of sharing what the prophets, sharing what the word in the old covenant said, sharing what was going to happen, sharing what's going to take place after he resurrects. And all of this is going on in their heart. You got to recognize now what's happening. They're walking down this path, and they're walking down this path to Emmaus, and then it gets to a place where the road, the path, just wide enough for mules and goats and that, this path veers off to Emmaus, and Jesus kind of goes on like he's going to the next group of people or wherever, and they called to him and they said, no, it's late. It's getting dark. Why don't you just come and stay with us? So Jesus already knew the plan. He already knew what was going to go on. He already knew what was going to take place. Oh, I love the Lord. He came to that place and he said, okay, I'll go with you. Well, then now they get to the house. So they show up. Now, whether they prepared the food or the wives were there, I don't know, but it wasn't a buffet. It had to be prepared. So all the while he is talking with them and he's sharing with them and he's laughing with them. And he's God. He's going to meet their needs where they're at. And then as they sit down to the table, as you read this set of scriptures, when they sit down to the table, you would, in that setting, you would allow the guest, if they would like to pray, you would say, would you like to pray over the food, which was a Jewish custom. They're all Jewish. So Cleo says, here, would you like to bless this? When he took the bread, and when he broke the bread, something happened in their life. Because remember, he's praying, their eyes are closed, he breaks the bread, he's gone, according to scriptures. Instantly, listen to me, this is how quick God can give revelation. Instantly, it shares on in those scriptures. Instantly, they were like, whoa, we have just encountered Christ. All the scriptures he had just talked about, all the things in the prophets had shared about, had just become, wait a minute, who we were walking with was the answer. They immediately, listen to what it says in here. It says, within that hour, they immediately got up and went back to Jerusalem. They traveled all day. They ate. It obviously was getting dark because they asked him to come and stay. But they immediately got the revelation of what the broken bread that was talked about, because Jesus, remember, he broke the bread with his disciples right prior to going through all of that. They had the revelation at that time, wait a minute, he walked through and talked through and give us everything that we needed to know. He give us the answer for our life. He give us the direction for our life. He's already accomplished what we need in our life to keep going. So they immediately went back. And I love when you follow the scripture on down in there. They literally went back to the group of disciples, went back to the others. And Peter at the time was talking about that he had seen Jesus. And they said, then they could chime right in. You seen Jesus. We walked for 7 miles with Jesus. We talked with Jesus. He shared all the scriptures. We know when he broke the bread, what he meant by that, that his body was broken for us. And we recognize that the answers for everything in life is in the Word. The answer is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The answer is he's got it for in this time we're walking through. The answer, folks, is not what the government decides. Don't get to the place in your walk where, remember, there are people that are trying to make right decisions. They're following the specialist. Now, I understand all that. But don't get to the place where you'll jump off a cliff for what the government says. We sometimes have to stand for what we believe in as long as we believe in what this Word says. But remember, when you've got a problem, when you run into a problem, don't run away from the problem. Run to the answer of the problem. And that's in the Scripture. Jesus Christ now lives inside of us, which I want to go maybe next week. We'll fall into the book of Acts in this, and we'll recognize that the Holy Spirit came. And we'll recognize that that's the voice that speaks to us now all of the time. And we don't have to look for the answer. We have got the answer. We have just got to get the revelation that Cleo got. My goodness. It said in there, as they were talking, it said, Cleo said to the other, how our hearts burned and how our attention changed, how our peace come over us when we walked with him. You've all met people like that. You've all met those oozy Christians that are just polite and they're kind and they're nice and they just the love of God just, that last song we had. I mean, the love of God just flows through those kind of people. That's what we need to be with what's going on in our community. The thing that we put on the side, on the concrete out here is exactly how we're supposed to all feel. We're supposed to be thankful for those that are running the grocery store, those that are working at the places that keep things going in society. We've got to be thankful. But more than all of that, we've got to be thankful in the one that's got all of this. We've got to be thankful for the one that knows tomorrow. You know, we're all waiting on the governor to decide when we can go back to work. Jesus already knows when we're going back to work. The Holy Spirit already knows when you're here. The answer's already in you. He will probably already tell most Christians when to be getting ready to make the shift into society before we're even told. Many times this happens in your life. You already know. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the grace of God. That's that thing that you have no business knowing, but he's going to tell you. That's that answer that you've got that keeps us going. This Word is so powerful. I love how as they walked, they tried to pull him down. They even kind of somewhat criticized him because he didn't know what was going on to start with. You didn't even know about it? Listen, he was this and this, and he was a mighty prophet, and the word that he spoke was powerful. And then all of a sudden the church destroyed him. And then he just settled down. It's going to be all right. Don't you remember? You're Jewish people. Have you not been studying the Korah? Have you not been studying the Old Covenant? Have you not been following what the prophets said to you that it's coming? Well, it's here. And I'm sure he wanted to say, hey man, it's me. I mean, while they were walking, I gotta spill it right now. I gotta let it out. Hey, it's me. But he had to wait until he broke the bread so the revelation would come that the breaking of the bread before he went to the cross was the same as it is now, but now it's broken. Now it's done. Now everything you ever need is accomplished for you. You don't have to work for your salvation. Grace comes along. Our salvation is by grace. You couldn't be good enough. That's why I get so aggravated when I run into people. Where I used to be, I used to feel like I had to go to church. I used to feel like I had to read so much of the Bible. I had to be good. I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. That's not how you live Christian life. You live Christian life by the love of God that's inside you. But it has to be a revelation. I feel sorry for those that are just come and go in church occasionally because they've not yet got the revelation of what it means to be in the body of Christ, what it means to be the body of Christ, what it means to love people like you're supposed to love people, what it means to know that whatever's going on in your life, God has it. He will take care of it. I don't care what's going on in your life. This is the only thing that's kept me sane, is knowing that I'm just passing through and God's got it all. And He'll take the Holy Spirit, which lives in me, is going to take care of me in every circumstance. I don't care what roadblock I hit. I know He's got a way around it, and I know He's got an answer to it. That's exactly the revelation that Cleo got. Well, see, when you grab this, when you really recognize this, it's got to be a revelation, and everybody's in a different place. But in my life, when I hit the road, hit the block sometimes, it was like, this is the end. No, it's never the end. I'm just passing through. And this will all straighten out. Someday, this will be in my life fixed. These emotional things, these financial things, I mean, you could just go on down the road and name things that go on in your life. It's not just this virus. This virus brings on so much. We were talking before service, how much damage is the enemy going to put on the emotions of people once they go back to work? And they're going to have to deal with the finances and being out of money, and they work so hard and it's gone. And now we've got tornadoes in the south that are hitting, and not only are they not working, now they don't have a place to live. So you've got to have an answer to that. And I'm telling you, I have got the answer right here. This word is the answer, because He tells me in the new covenant, he says that I will prosper. I will be victorious. Not will be, I am victorious. I will not allow anything, Ron, to come on you that I don't have the answer for, that I haven't got a way for you to work through. Nothing can come on you that will destroy you. You will walk through it. And folks, listen, even if it takes me down into death, I still don't lose. I'm a winner. Instantly, I am then with Him. And instantly, see, it's not like you're going to drag through to get there. When it's time for you to be gone and you're done, you're there. So why worry about what's going on now? Why not be an encouragement to the people? Why not, when you're at the grocery store, why not say something nice to the people that have been standing all day with all that's going on? Well, the people down at Walmart, you know, in Chester, I don't have a whole lot of places to even talk about going to. Such a small community, but yet God's using us in this small community. God's using you in this small community. God's taking care of everything that's going on in your life. He walked with them through the hard times. He talked with them through the hard times. He was the answer in the hard times. He took care of everything in the hard. See, I want to always go. I want to do it quicker. I don't want to walk 7 miles, then go back to the answer. I don't want to walk for 7 miles of my life and talk about the problems and oh I wish and oh I want and oh. I want to have the problem because I grow in my problems. And He says we're going to have tribulation, but see, my problems are good. They're good problems. We first started this church, we had problems, but they were always good problems. Not enough parking, not enough seating, not enough building for the kids. Those are all good problems. See, you've got a good problem in what you're going through right now. How can you be to your neighbor? How can you be to those you can be around? How can you be on internet? How can you be on Facebook? How can we be to bless people? See, we've got the answer for the hard times. He takes care of us. See, if you've got a virus in your life right now, He's got the answer. Don't continue to, I mean, get all the emotions out of the way and your problems and just go, come back. You know, they used to say count to 10 before you got mad. Well, can I ask you a question? Why'd you get mad? See, the only reason any of us get mad is because you're not getting your way. So that ought to show you that you need Jesus. To recognize that you need to deal with your pride. You need to deal with those things in your life and allow God to. Did he bring on the problems? No. He's not that. God's not a God that does that. See, this world is operated by the enemy. God has it, but it got wrongfully taken at the Garden of Eden. But we're going to get it back. And we're a part of getting that back. See, God watches over us to allow that grace to come back into your life and flow. All you have to do is know that it's there. Recognize that he's taking care of you. And listen to that. We call it, they call it, people call it your conscience. Well, yeah, it is. Because your conscience is renewed when you get born again. When you give your life to Jesus, every sin from your past that haunts you is over. It's gone and forgiven. But what's exciting about grace is every sin, everything I make my mistakes today in my thought life, or tomorrow in my doings in my thought life, is covered by the blood of Jesus. It's covered and already forgiven. And I can know that I have, anytime I want, I can see the problem turned into the promise. I can recognize that Jesus has it all for me. We can come back to the answer. See, darkness is real. I mean, darkness is real. But I have found in my life that light always repels darkness. And Jesus is our light. And he won't let you get very far away before he shows up and starts talking, shows up and starts loving on you, shows up to the place where he's going to walk with you and he's going to discuss things with you and he's going to tell you the right way to go. Within the hour, it's almost like, okay, let's put the dishes away and let's go. We got to get back. We've got to go back to the answer. We've got to share with everybody back there that, hey, don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. We've talked with him. We've walked with him. And here's the answer. Relax and walk in the peace that God's got for you and I. Come to that place where his grace will always be with you. But remember, he will always chase you down. Always. Always. He's always going to be there. He's always going to take care of us. Sometimes he comes quietly. Sometimes it's just that feeling that, wow, God's in this place. Sometimes it's through hard situations where you're the only one in the crowd that's got peace with going on. See, right now especially, people need to hear it's going to be okay. God has got all of this. He's not surprised. Now, I'm not going to be flippant and be contagious and get around people that's got any kind of a... I wouldn't do that with the flu or the cold. But we've got to not run with the cold. We've got to run with the answer. We've got to run with Jesus. We've got to come to the place in our life knowing that everything that is going on, God has got our number and he's going to take care of us. We've got to be at the place where his grace will always be with us and always flow through us. He's going to chase you down anyway, so you might as well just accept it early and not walk 7 miles away and allow God to take care of you. Father, we thank you. Father, right now, I just speak to those that are on the internet, on Facebook. I thank you that whatever, wherever their emotions are with right now, as people are running out of money financially, not knowing when they're going to work again. Father, I thank you that you have said that you will meet every need we have. Our place is in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Father, and you know that. That's your word. It's those things that we can't see, but you've got them for us. So we trust in you, Father. Just like you come in on the path with Cleophas, you come in on that path and started talking with him. You're going to do the same thing with us through this time. Father, we trust in you, and we thank you that no matter what comes or what goes, you've got us and our family. And we trust in you, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Call you blessed. Call you blessed. Thank you.